Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, have you ever gone to a convenience store gas station and you see a promotion for a free hot dog fill up or some other stationary incentive and thought, that's good enough reason for me to keep coming back here? There's a high probability that that's not the case. But what does it take for a convenience store to earn your loyalty? So to dive into what it takes and the tools that are available to convenience stores, I have Tom Byron, who is the VP of Marketing at LedgerPay, and Raymond Pucci, who is the Director of Merchant Services at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot of great things to unpack on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Tom and Ray, absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode, where we're going to be kind of diving into C-Store and kind of taking a look at that vertical and just kind of a lot of the changes that have been going on, and specifically to loyalty programs. But first, to kind of help set the table here, right? I think it's been a very interesting year and a very dynamic and a lot of changes have been going on in C-Stores in particular. So Ray, maybe perhaps you could kind of provide some insight or some overview that you've been seeing from an analyst perspective of the changes that C-Stores have been going through this year in particular, being it such an interesting year.
Thanks very much, Ryan. Great to be with you, Tom.
Always a pleasure, Ray.
Yes, as far as the C-Stores, for 2020, they basically, I look at it, they've kind of been like a reawakened giant of a vertical. And certainly C-Stores have are very ubiquitous. They're basically everywhere, but these are some of the changes that we're seeing. And certainly, I think I should start off by saying they were one of the essential retailers, especially at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, that remained open. And, that's been the case. They played a larger role in food and beverage. But let me mention a few things related to the C-store industry. Let's think of it that 80% of all the fuel in the U.S. is sold at a C-store venue. So right there, that tells you they have a lot of traffic going through there. People coming in to gas up, stopping in the C-store for a product, and of course, really, that's where the money is in the store itself. The higher margins, gas sales, really. Gas is cheaper than it has been, but there's really no margin on gasoline, and that's why almost all of the national retail gas stations have a C-store there. And then, of course, you have many regional and national C-store chains. The other point to bring out related to C-stores is that they're getting bigger. It wasn't that long ago when the average C-store space-wise was about 2,000 square feet. And now we're seeing, in the last few years, super C-stores, and we're talking 4,000 to 5,000 square feet. And the reason for that is that they've increased their shelf space primarily for food and beverage items. And at one time, C-stores, for food, it was a greasy slice of pizza and stale coffee. But now they have prepared foods, fresh foods, that's typically a coffee bar, espresso, a bar for a variety of coffee drinks and also cold drinks. So that attracts many more people coming in and out of the store. And I think that's why C-stores are really positioned very well to handle more traffic, the quick stop, frequent visits, even within a day or certainly in a week. And that really positions them, I think, for some great loyalty play for consumers. So that's an overview in terms of how I look at the C-store vertical going on right now.
Yeah, Ray, you know, I certainly think that that's, you know, a fantastic overview there, right? You know, and I certainly find it very interesting because especially when you kind of take a look at just the C-store itself and kind of, as you pointed out, the use of it and kind of how the C-store itself has evolved kind of over time from smaller and kind of serving that like, hey, yeah, there's not necessarily that direct need or want for me to go into the store to maybe, you know, kind of buy that greasy slice of pizza. It certainly has had quite an evolution over the past couple of years, as you pointed out, you know, providing those reasons for an individual to go in and make those additional purchases where, as you pointed out, you know, that's where the margin is for C stores. You know, as you pointed out, like there's not a lot of margin in gas, but there is certainly in food. But then that kind of comes to the, well, how do we get people into the store and how do we get them to keep coming back to our particular C store? Because if people are just going into a C store to, hey, just fill up on gas, you know, that's fantastic. But yeah, we want to try to get a little bit larger of a cart size here. Convenience stores typically do that have the petrol station attached to them. And if not, obviously the game is still to get them to come into the store to make those additional purchases that are there. And a part of that has a big factor in terms of just loyalty programs to getting me to come back to that same location or that same brand time in and time again. So Tom, this is where I'd like to lean to you and kind of maybe we could talk about where Ray kind of talked a little bit about the history of just kind of C-stores and how they've evolved over the years. Perhaps you could kind of talk to us about how C-store loyalty programs have evolved over the years.
Sure. Thanks, Ryan. Ray, great capture as always. You know, I think one of the big challenges is, as you've pointed out, is that, you know, the C-stores are quite unusual in terms of a retail profile because they have this sort of bifurcated business model. And, you know, as they are expanding and the margin where they're really making their profit is getting somebody from the pump and inside the door, that's where loyalty becomes, I think, a much bigger driver in this space. Now, we all know loyalty programs have been around a long time. You know, they started in the hotel industry, then moved to airlines. Everybody's got a mileage program, then to banking. And now they're ubiquitous, right? I believe the last time I looked, the average consumer, I haven't checked my wallet, but I think the average consumer's got about 13 loyalty programs that they're engaged in. And, you know, some brands in the C-store space have been loyalty programs for a decade, but developing a customer-oriented marketing program that can be thought of as loyalty has been a phenomenon that has really evolved in the last 5 years. And, you know, you talk about the size of the vertical, you know, at last look, I believe there's something like 154,000 convenience stores around the country. So when you're talking about loyalty, that represents both a really significant reach into the American public, you know, as well as an investment on the brand side. And so, you know, like most players these days in retail, all the big convenience chains have dropped the old plastic loyalty cards, and they've embraced more of a tech-driven loyalty program, you know, encouraging people to shop or gas up more frequently by offering the opportunity to earn a range of rewards. But I think one of the challenges is that most customers choose a C-store based on location and price. So this is really aptly named a convenience driver. And 65% of C-store shoppers only get gas and never go into the store itself. So that's the real challenge these guys are facing. Many of the operators are trying to lure business by taking a penny or two off at the pump to get people sort of, you know, in the lot. But Ray, as you pointed out very astutely, you know, that's sort of, you know, cutting off your nose to spite your face, because that's a thin margin game. And the real profit is sitting inside the door. So if you can't get somebody to move from the pump to make a store purchase, then what's happening is that doesn't always translate in terms of a profitability. And I think C-stores, you know, what's interesting about them as well, makes them really different than other retailers, is that they've got a low average transaction value, but the frequency, frequency visits are abnormally high, and gross margins on the inside sales are strong enough to support customer incentives. I think this is great. And if you want to make that case more profoundly, what you can see is there's enough margin inside those doors that the big CPG brands, the consumer packaged goods folks, they're increasingly willing to fund specific offers in co-op marketing. And this adds the value of the program. But the catch for the C-stores is, how do you effectively message somebody at the pump? Because again, the majority of people are coming in to gas up and then they move on. How do you message them and get them from the pump inside the store to take advantage of that promo? So technologically, like just about everybody else these days, C-stores have moved to mobile apps. And this makes total sense. Everybody's got a cell phone in their hand. They've got it easy to use. Studies have shown the average mobile user will spend maybe 3 hours a day on using apps. And theoretically, they provide just a ton of consumer data. Now, when I say theoretically, because I think there's a challenge for a lot of these players as to whether they can truly leverage that data into sort of actionable insights and behavior drivers, you know, when you're either at the pump or in the store. Right. Also, you've got the traditional conundrum of loyalty programs always have a high degree of friction. You know, yeah, they're great. People love them, but you've got to download an app. You got to enroll. You got to fill out your profile. You got to add your debit or your credit card. And then most importantly, you got to remember to use it. And a lot of times people are hitting a convenience store because they're in a hurry and they're not thinking it all the way through. Right. And then I think on top of that, there's the issue that as a rule, the folks who are enrolled in your loyalty program, they tend to be your best customers anyway, right? So, you know, one of the big challenges, we got to get somebody to download the app. And recent research has shown that, unfortunately, most apps, they tend to die off, 90% of the usage tends to die off within 90 days, right? And in C-stores in particular, I think what's really challenging is that 55% of loyalty memberships go inactive if the customer realizes their points have expired, right? So if you're employing a breakage model where, oh yeah, you're going to get these points, but they only they're only available for redemption in, you know, XY timeframe, and they expire, you know, that turns people off, and that feeds into the fact that 94% of customers who are enrolled in a C-store convenience program cite that good customer service is the reason to stay enrolled and active. And let's face it, we all go to C-stores on a regular basis, like just about every other American. And that's a place with a notoriously high turnover rate. There's a lot of churn, and that makes it really tough to deliver a very consistent, positive customer experience. This backs up into another challenge for the chains, which is, this is employee training. So if you've got a high turnover environment, it's really easy to give up on training because it just becomes too expensive, too challenging. And even though you've got on-site marketing with pump toppers and window signage to drive people into the store to take advantage of those promos, reinforcement of the program value from employee can make all the difference in the world between success and failure. And that's really, I think that's a real conundrum that has yet to be solved here. Still, you know, loyalty programs are absolutely huge. 89% of U.S. adult customers have visited a C-store in the last 6 months, and 42% of those say that they've joined a C-store loyalty program, right? And the big thing is that you can see why people want to drive the loyalty membership, because C-store loyalty members, on average, spend a lot more, like almost $3 or $4 more respectively than a non-member. And C-store members spend about 29% more per visit. And you know, the majority of us, I think it's something in the low 70s, 72, 73% of C-stores have loyalty programs in place. And they've been in place for more than a year, and some of them more than 5 years, right? So I think that the big driver here why people want to get adoption going is that most C-store businesses see on average a bump of 25 to 40% of their total revenue coming from their loyal and returning customers, right? And on top of that, 5% increase in retention can result in a revenue boost of between 25 and 90%. So for the C-store owner operator of the chain, retention is an invaluable metric that happens to be particularly useful, you know, in terms of driving loyalty and revenue. But we come back to it, and traditional programs are expensive. They got high friction built in by design. They've got a high churn. You've got employee churning on top of that. You know, you got membership churn, you got employee churn. And it doesn't seem, and then COVID's presented a whole new raft of challenges in terms of, you know, shifting resources to protecting staff and customers. And they've had to adopt to changing consumer behavior, such as visiting times. And, you know, as Ray, as you pointed out, there's a much now bigger driver to pick up some, you know, light grocery pickup. You know, you're making limited runs out of the house. So how do these folks use loyalty to be able to make that tide rise for them across the board?
Right. Good points, Tom. There's another angle to this. And as you're mentioning, as we've been saying, related to the COVID influence, in that pre-COVID, C-stores, and really maybe kind of similar to the QSR industry, would see a surge in the morning, you know, people going in for their morning coffee on their commute. But guess what? People are working from home now. So that impacts the traffic flow, the foot traffic flow into C-stores. But I think the challenge for them is that, which is a positive one, there's more traffic throughout the day that's interspersed. And I think a lot of those shoppers or consumers going into C-stores may not already be part of the C-store loyalty program. So that's even more incentive for C-stores to capture the people that weren't around in the daytime. They were at work. They only went in the morning. But now we have that traffic spread out through the day, and that really is an opportunity for C-stores to go after those people. And then, as you say, the key, of course, is to have good retention numbers as well.
Yeah, and I kind of want to call back to one of the things that Tom, that you were bringing up there in terms of just how it is that C-stores in particular are kind of using loyalty, and kind of almost flip that on its head a little bit and kind of almost look at it from how the consumer is using loyalty. Because as you pointed out there, Tom, you know, you've got some consumers that, hey, it's, you know, they're using it for like grocery pickup, or as Ray pointed out, like, hey, going in the morning and grabbing a cup of coffee as they gas up their vehicle to go to work here. And I certainly think that that aspect is very interesting, right? Because when we take a look at traditional loyalty programs, it's usually kind of that buckshot approach, right? Where it's kind of like, look, we've got this one message and we're going to blast it out to everybody there. But the way that one individual uses loyalty or uses the C-store can be vastly different than how another individual uses it. And therefore, the loyalty program itself needs to adapt and evolve to those individual needs that those individual people have and how it is that they use the C-store. And one of the things that's fantastic about the day that we live in is that we do have the technology that allows for that. So, Tom, I want to lean on you for this one here. So as we're kind of looking at how loyalty technology itself continues to evolve and really kind of expand across the multiple channels and touch points that now a consumer has access and utilizes on a regular basis, what role does really the promotion itself play in customer loyalty, and how important is that to the overall success of the program?
You know, Ryan, that's a really great question, because you know, from where we're sitting at LedgerPay, we really see this as sort of the next frontier, you know, in terms of promotions. You know, while the first generation of loyalty programs is relatively simple, you know, punch cards, things like that, today's rewards landscape has become a lot more complex. And consumers, you know, as I said, if you've got 13 cards in your wallet or your purse, they're increasingly bombarded with reward options from virtually every business they transact with. And the up and downside of this is one and the same, which is consumers are savvier than ever before, and they know that their loyalty offer is generally what they get is generally about increased frequency and more sales for the store, not their needs, right? And I think one of the big problems with many of the promotions that are pushed out there, they're often generic, and they're not aligned with the personal preferences of any consumer at any given time. So if you go back to the person filling up their tank and you give them a promo for a drink when what they really want is a discount on their gas, that's something that is, you know, that's just going right by their ear. They're not thinking twice about that. And they're thinking, this has got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with my preferences, or really even my buying behaviors. But the ability to provide targeted offers, such as unique content or personalized product offers or recommendations delivered when the customer is still in the C-store at the moment of impact. I think this is a vital component for increasing engagement. And engagement is really, it's the precursor to loyalty, the ability to connect with the consumer in a more personalized way, that they feel recognized, you're encouraging a disposition to be loyal to your business, right? So, and also I think it's the delivery of that. And this goes back to the majority of current promos are often delivered by mail or email. You know, it could be a couple of days, it could be a week or so after you've been in. And that's something that just doesn't register with people. You know, now that they've got the promo, you've got a lapse, it just erodes, you don't remember it, you know, this is another hurdle, it's now this is more, another case of more friction. You're far less likely, you get the promo and you think, okay, that's good, you put it down somewhere, now you've got to remember to pick it up, even if it's in your wallet, you've got to remember to use it, right? And this is where I think a lot of folks are looking at apps and they're thinking, well, you know, if it's on the app, this creates an ample opportunity for C-store marketeers to, you know, be able to push that that promo. And then also to be able to gather and leverage data from various channels to target their customer better, right? But I think what we're really finding is that C-store chains generally struggle with organizing and leveraging the data in a meaningful way to develop relevant promotions. It's a big issue that needs to be addressed, and it's compounded by the fact that, you know, if you think about it, a lot of these are franchises. And so many owner operators are small merchants with a single store, couple of stores. They've got some limited sophistication, and they're often more worried about just the nuts and bolts of daily business. And this is like, is an employee showing up for a shift, you know, or you know, am I running out of stock or something? When the next delivery is going to arrive? They're thinking these are things that are front and center for them, as opposed to managing a loyalty program, which requires a degree of sophistication and attention, right? And you know, at LedgerPay, we really believe the true lasting customer loyalty needs to be earned rather than bought. You know, and what C-stores really need is a solution that reduces friction and, I think more importantly, enables promotions that engage the customer in a personalized way while they were in the act of purchasing or even dining, you know, in the store, to add a new dimension to the experience. Because once you do that and you feel recognized, I think that's where loyalty starts to take hold. You know, I mean, we're all old enough to remember, you know, the mom and pop shops where you go in and you're known, right? And your preferences are known, and what you don't like, you know, what you like and what you don't like are both known. And if something special comes along, all of a sudden they serve that up. And that special attention, that one-to-one attention, that's really the core of loyalty. And that changes the consumer's experience. And, you know, in a world where you're deluged with marketing and brand impressions and promises, that's the kind of thing that becomes more memorable in a personal way and really drives loyalty in the long term.
That's right, Tom. When we think of the business model for C-stores, it's typically a franchise model. So the franchisee, and as you were alluding to this, it's basically a mom-and-pop operation, or it's a small business person, and their resources in terms of time and attention to detail, they're spread pretty thin. And I know they're looking for turnkey solutions. And certainly marketing and loyalty is an area where they may not have a lot of time to devote to that. But if they can find a solution that's targeted, I think that goes a long way for them to get more traffic and revenue in the store. I do know the loyalty programs, you know that I've seen and that I'm in, you get an email and it's not really targeted. Or you could be pumping gas into your car, and you know, there are the video screens now, and they couldn't be less targeted. It's just the shotgun approach that, you know, to me does not get me to go into the store, certainly. So wherever these targeted marketing solutions can come into play, I think that's just going to go a long way to increase sales and business. And get more customers for C-store operators.
Yeah, now, Tom, one of the things that I want to call out that I think was absolutely beautiful that you said there, and I want to expand upon it a little bit and kind of add a little bit of my twist to it, is that you said loyalty is earned. And really kind of what jumped into my mind then is that attention can be bought, but the loyalty is really earned. And what I mean by that is that I think in one of our previous discussions that we've had with you, Tom, when we were taking a look at QSR and loyalty, and we were taking a look at the application download in that, hey, you know, it's fantastic that you've got all these consumers that are downloading your loyalty app that you've gotten everything, but then the abandonment rate of that was just astronomical. I think it was around 94%, and don't quote me on that, but I think it was a very high percentage of just an abandonment of usage, and that really speaks to the fact that the loyalty itself is earned, that you can certainly give away something for somebody to be able to download your application, but the idea is that you need them to be loyal. You want them to continue to use that. And a lot of that comes in with the promotional aspect of it, of being there with the right promotion at the right time in the way that the individual wants. And I think that that's a fantastic mindset to have, because where everything is so personalized and everything can be so specifically targeted, you know, I think as consumers kind of look at, you know, the amount of attention that they give to anything, it has to have that personalized experience to it. I mean, you expect it when you look at just, you know, the advertising that's served to you or anything else. It's just everything is so custom tailored that a loyalty program really needs to have that same attribute to it. So when we take a look at kind of just the challenges and everything like that we've really kind of brought up on today's podcast. Tom, I'd like to then get specifically how it is that LedgerPay addresses those specific challenges that we brought up and offer that C-store a new way of driving that customer engagement and loyalty.
Yeah, that's right, Ryan. I think just to recap here briefly that, you know, C-stores, at LedgerPay, we've been really looking at the broader issue of how merchants engage a customer more seamlessly on a personal basis to drive that loyalty. And engagement, as I said, is the harbinger of that. C-stores in particular, I think, face a really unique set of challenges. And we've outlined some of them here. You know, you've got the majority of Americans visit a C-store on a regular basis. 65% of them are there for gas alone. The challenge is you've got higher margin products, you know, inside the doors. How do you get them from the pump inside the door? Pump toppers and window signage have limited efficacy. You've got high churn in your employee base, so you don't have somebody who's an educated employee who can really sort of drive that message home. Customer service is a big factor. So, you know, there are a lot of challenges there. And then, you know, when you take a look at the fact that even if you download an app, just the amount of churn, sort of the attrition just in an app within the first 90 days, and then if you've got some breakage model in place, which is common, that, you know, people realize their rewards are fading to black before they can actually redeem them, or the rewards aren't appropriate for what they want to use the C-store for, you know, you've got attrition there that very rapidly escalates into the single digits, I mean, in terms of people who are truly engaged. And so if you're a C-store operator, whether you're, you know, on the marketing team in the chain or you're an owner operator on the front lines, what's happening is that if you've only got, you know, low single digits of your, you know, your customer flow engaged in your loyalty program, then that means you've effectively got a massive blind spot to who your customers are, what their buying behaviors are, and what their category preferences are. And so at LedgerPay, what we've done is we've worked very hard for the last couple of years to come up with a solution that really addresses those issues. And, you know, we've got something that's new to the market here called Payments Intelligence, and it changes all of that for these players. You know, our solution sits right at the heart of the payments flow. And so we've got the unique ability to securely and anonymously see every detail of every transaction by every customer in every channel. And this enables us to extract rich individualized purchasing data that C-stores have never been able to link together, that purchasing data with a customer in a scientifically accurate way. So let me give you an example of how this plays out in the real world. Let's say we've got a customer called Jim, and, you know, he may visit three or four locations of C-store chain in any week, right? I mean, and this is, you know, pre-COVID, but it's something I think people can relate to, you know. And this, you might be stopping the coffee on the way to work, you might pop in for a lunch or a snack and get some gas, you might, you know, grab some milk on the way home after a long day, and, you know, Jim would use his debit card for all those purchases. So he's in and out of these stores in different locations around a city in the course of a week. And he's in the loyalty program, right? But he's in a rush. He doesn't use his app or his personal identifier. He forgets it. And every time that happens, the C-store loses valuable data in terms of when, where, and what he was interested in buying, and even what the day part looked like, you know. But payments intelligence captures all that individualized, anonymized purchase behaviors that can be linked to a specific debit or credit card. There's no enrollment. There's no app, no identifier needed. We simply capture a new card as it comes in, upload that to the cloud. And every time that card is used going forward, we take that line item purchase data and we associate it with the card that's on file. And over time, this builds a very detailed customer profile, right? And although tokenization is a common payment security technology, we've developed an entirely new way of extracting data from every payment transaction right down to the line item purchase level while still anonymizing the cardholder's identity. And so this capture and the analysis of this data, this is what we call payments intelligence. This transforms the commodity service of payments into a strategic competitive advantage for C-stores and other retailers. You know, so specifically, if you're a C-store, you can use LedgerPay. You can now capture individual purchasing data, create a customer profile over time that are based on a customer's actual historical and category preferences and their behaviors in real time. And we can then leverage that data to generate highly relevant marketing and promotional offers to individual consumers based directly on what they like to eat or drink or buy. And most importantly, you know, folks can then use our promotions engine to deliver those promotions to the customer in real time while they're standing there in the store or at the pump. And we believe that this ability to deliver these targeted, personalized promotions in real time, this completely changes the consumer experience. It offers C-stores an entirely new level of engagement with their customers. It makes them feel known. It makes them feel valued. And as we've discussed, that's at the heart of any customer's loyalty to a business. And I think best of all, you know, we've looked at this and we've been very real world about it. You know, we've developed our solution. It can run as a full stack, you know, but it's also every part of it is completely agnostic. So we can work as a standalone, or we can work with an existing processor, or we can work with an existing loyalty program and really turbocharge it. But it's a solution that can seamlessly drive engagement, loyalty, and revenue at scale.
We've been talking about the C-store industry. I think it's important to understand that while they've had an increase in traffic this year because, again, being classified, especially early on in the pandemic, as essential retailers, they've been open. But other verticals haven't been standing still. Grocery stores, you know, which have been doing an incredibly high growth business this year, but many grocery stores have grab and go sections when you first walk into the store. And when we think of big box stores, say Target sells a lot of quick stop items in the food and beverage category, and Walmart, you know, in the same respect. So C stores really need very powerful tools for customer retention and loyalty programs, because they're up against a lot of competition. They can't sit back on their laurels that they've had a decent year, certainly, with more foot traffic coming into the store, and also the advantages we're saying they're also near the retail gas pumps as well. So C-stores should be looking to, you know, enhance their marketing tools and really get out there, because the competition for their food and beverage items isn't going to go away.
Excellent. Well, I think we can certainly wrap things up there. So Tom and Ray, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about C-Store and loyalty programs. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Ryan. Take care, Tom.